Let us pray as we approach God's word, his throne. Almighty Father in heaven, indeed, worthy is the Lamb that you sent for each of us. So today, Lord, may we listen to the Lamb speaking to us. May we hear his voice. May we be forever changed. It is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we have had a very big accomplishment that has taken place in the Half Hill household. Something that we've been working on for a few weeks, or actually maybe more than that. We have been working on potty training in the Half Hill household. And we are very excited today to be a diaper-free home. Johanna is very proud of her accomplishment. But we've discovered that pride in being a big girl has led to this phrase a few times. I do it myself. We hear that a lot now. She wants to do it all on her own. And sometimes we get that way in our lives, don't we? We say, I can do it all by myself. Do we ever say that to God? One wise person once said, anything we do without prayer, we can end up doing on our own. And when I heard that, I said, ouch, because that one really stung me. I do that sometimes. Well, there's one thing in particular that I think all of us in our lives that we tend to want to do on our own, something that we don't want to give up to God, something that we want to hold on to and not hand over to him. So what is that thing? That one thing that we want to hold on to? This morning, let's talk about worry, stress. So if you have no worry and stress, you can leave now. I see no one heading for, well, just one person heading for the door. We all have it, don't we? Let's be honest. When it comes to worry and stress, we tend to hold on to our stress sometimes, don't we? We don't want to let go of it. We don't want to give our worries over to Jesus. I figured this was a good time to talk about this because worry and stress tend to come our way when the holidays approach. A time that's supposed to be a time off, a time to relax, somehow turns into more of a stressful time. Well, in the scriptures, God tells us to give our sins over to him, to hand them over, to let go. The Bible says if we confess, what? He will forgive. But then after we've given our sins to the Lord, Jesus says to you and me, give me your worry too. Hand it over. Give it to me. And we say, No, Lord, I can't do that. Lord, I need to keep these. You take care of my sins, but the worry, that I need that. I got to hold on to that. And I think Jesus says to us, no, really, I know you're getting big. I know you can do things on your own, but really, let me help. Give me your worry. And we say, no, you can't have these. You might mess things up. I've got to do this. You just don't understand. I think the Lord smiles at us. And he says, you know, I've been around a long time. I know what I'm doing. Trust me. Hand it over. So what do you think this morning? Are you someone who won't let go? Do you hold on to your worry? Or maybe you're thinking, well, wait a second, Pastor. Where does it say in the Bible that God wants my worry? I mean, doesn't it say in there somewhere that God helps those who help themselves? No, it doesn't. It doesn't say that. Some people think Ben Franklin came up with that. Others say it goes all the way back to pagan Greece, where that idea came from. The Bible actually says just the opposite. In Romans chapter 5, verse 6, it says God helps the helpless. And praise the Lord for that. What does the Bible say about worry? Let's find out today, because I think it affects all our lives. Turn with me in your Bible to Philippians chapter 4, and verse 4. Our scripture reading for today is where we'll begin. Let's figure out, what does the Bible say about worry? Philippians 4, verse 4. Paul is writing this epistle to this church in Philippi, and he says to them in verse 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice." Now, it's hard to rejoice in the Lord when worry and stress are eating away at you, isn't it? It's hard to rejoice then. And take a look at verse 6 with me. He says, say with me now, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Be anxious for, let's say it again, nothing. Wait a second. Does your Bible say, don't worry about the little things in life, but the big things in life, it's okay to stress out about that? Does your Bible say that? Probably not. If it does, you need a new Bible. Or does your version of the Bible say, don't worry about the things of the world, the secular things, but when it comes to salvation and you're standing with God, you need to worry about that? Does your Bible say that? No. Paul says, be anxious for nothing. Don't worry. You think, well, wait a second, maybe this apostle Paul, maybe he was just the Bible's version of Bobby McFerrin. I can see some of you are lost on that Bobby McFerrin reference. Let me see if I can help you. Does this help a little bit? Bobby McFerrin, do you remember him? Still drawing a blank. Let's see if I can whistle. You remember? Came out years ago and he said these words, "Don't worry, be happy." Is that what the Apostle Paul is? He's saying, don't worry, just rejoice. I'm really sorry if that's stuck in your head now, that song, and we'll probably be there all day. But is that what Paul is saying here in Philippians? Don't worry, just rejoice. I don't think so. Let's look a little closer. Verse 6, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Make your requests known to God. God says, you got stress, you got worry, hand it over. Give it to me. Or maybe this morning you're thinking, well, this Paul character, he must not have known about tough times. Maybe he didn't have anything to worry about. God was always with him and watching over him. Paul ain't me. I got problems. This Paul guy, he don't understand what I'm going through. Well, my friends, we need to realize that when Paul wrote these words, he was sitting in prison. We catch that in this very book, if you want to turn back to chapter 1, verse 13. Paul says, "So it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ." He's writing this while he is under lock and key. If you were in prison, would your letters say, "Rejoice in the Lord always," and again, rejoice? Please don't think that Paul is saying these words flippantly. This guy, Paul, knew something about hardship. If you want to turn with me to another letter that he wrote, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, we'll just get a little taste of what Paul went through, and maybe that gives some weight to what he says when he says, "Be anxious for nothing." Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. We'll start in verse 23. He says, "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure." He's talking about being whipped there. "In prisons more frequently, in deaths often. From the Jews 5 times I received 40 stripes minus 1. I don't know how many he took. That's 5 times 39 that laid on his back. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. Day and night I have been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils in false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Did this guy know tough times, people? My goodness. And when you realize what he went through, when you know his track record, you have to listen when this guy says, be anxious for nothing. Take it to God in prayer, because Paul lived it. We think we got problems today. Take a look through that list again. Well, the next question we have then is, how is this possible? How did Paul get to the point where he could sit in prison after living through all of this and write these words, don't worry? How could he possibly get to that point in life? Well, it happened years earlier on a road trip. Road trips will really change your life sometimes, and Paul took a road trip to Damascus. And we read about it in Acts chapter 9. If you want to turn there, we'll look at Acts chapter 9, verse 3. How did he get to the point where he could say, don't worry? Acts chapter 9, verse 3 says, as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. On his way to arrest Christians, Paul, who was then known as Saul, sees a light. But not just a light, he sees the light. And he hears these words, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? He runs into Jesus on the road to Damascus. And Jesus basically says to him, Saul, hand it over. Give it to me. It's time for a change. It's time you live for me. My friends, experiencing the resurrected Lord Jesus made all the difference in Paul's life. It made it so that he could go through all this hardship, all these horrible events in his life, and he had it happen to him for doing good. And he could go through all of that, end up in prison, and write the words, be anxious for nothing. If worry and stress got us down, maybe we need to again experience the living, resurrected Jesus Christ in our lives. Have you ever prayed for God to take away your problems? This thing that you're dealing with, Lord, please take it away. Take all my stress away. Take all my worries away. Have you ever prayed that? I think sometimes we do, whether we're honest with it or not. Lord, just take it away. Well, folks, be careful with what you pray. Because there are some who have no stress. No stress at all. You say, wow, I'd like to go there. You want to go where there's no stress? Not really, folks. Because there is a place where there's no stress. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes that those who have passed, their love, their hate, their jealousy have vanished. There are no worries or stress in the grave. For they rest peacefully there waiting for Jesus to say, wake up. So what do we do with our stress? What do we do? Well, only the dead have no stress. What kind of stress do we have? What do we worry about? Well, let's take a look at a few things. Well, when we're kids, what do? Well, we worry about growing up when we're kids. And then when we're adults, we worry about growing up and older. So we continue to worry about that. Now, a 16-year-old, what's he worry about? Getting that license, got to have that car. Then you get to 18, well, then you're stressed out about graduating. Students all along, well, you're worried about stress. And then after you graduate, you're worried about finding a job or going off to college. Single folks, what do they worry about? Well, they want to find somebody. And then couples, after they find somebody, well, then they're stressed about the person they found. Y'all laughed pretty heartily on that one. Engaged folks, well, they worry about the wedding that comes along. And then married couples, well, they worry about having kids someday. And then once you have kids, you worry about having kids. Because you got them. And then kids worry about growing up. And the cycle continues. Health, wealth, future, past, we worry. We all do. Have you ever wondered what Jesus says about worry? Does he deal with the practical things in life, or does Jesus always just talk about the spiritual things? Does he talk about the things that affect us today, living in 2011? I think so. Let's take a look. Turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, and let's see what Jesus says to people about real life. And maybe you'll hear Jesus speaking to you today, too. Matthew chapter 6, we're going to look at verse 25. Words from our Lord, words from our Savior. He says, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or what you will drink, nor about your body, or what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing?" So Jesus says, don't worry about what you're going to eat, don't worry about what you're going to wear. What exactly is he saying? Well, he's saying, don't stress out about your clothes and don't stress out about what you're going to eat. So, if we think about that, he must be saying, don't worry about the little things in life. Don't worry about the small things. The big things, sure, go ahead, worry about that. Is that what he's saying? I mean, after all, how many of you were really stressed out this week over what you were going to wear? Teenage girls don't count. I'm just kidding, ladies, you do. You do count. Have you ever opened up your closet door, looked inside at all those clothes in there, and declared to the world, I have nothing to wear? Look at all the guys out there elbowing their lady next to them. We do that, don't we? We're not stressed out about what we're going to wear today. For most of us here in the USA, clothing is not a real big issue. Jesus also says, don't worry about your food, what you will eat. Well, how many of you were real panicked this week about what you were going to eat? Have you ever opened your cabinet doors and looked at the food in there, looked it over, tried to find something, and declared, there is nothing to eat in this house? Have you ever? Yeah, we've said that, haven't we? Oh, we're all convicted right now. It happens. Many of us today aren't too concerned about our next meal. So is Jesus saying here in Matthew, just don't sweat the little things like food and clothing, but the big things in life, you can worry about that. Is that what he's saying? Not at all, my friends. There's a simple principle for reading the Bible, and many people leave it out, which is why we have such confusion, why so many people believe different things reading the same book. And this is a classic example of it, and I've done it here so you can see it. Many people read the Bible. We get to our devotion time, we open it up, we read it, and we ask this question, which is a good question, but we ask this question, what does that Bible mean for me today? That's a good question to ask, right? And many of us ask that as we're reading in our devotion time. Great question, it just can't be the first question we ask. Because if we ask that question first, we're going to get off balance. The first question that we have to ask is, what did this text mean for them 2,000 years ago? And if we don't start there, if we don't ask that question first and get that answer, then we can end up saying, well, Jesus says in Matthew to not sweat the little things. So let's think about it. 2,000 years ago, were people worried about food? Was it a major concern in their life? You bet it was. Most of the people there lived at a subsistence level in life, which meant the money that they earned that day went for the food that they ate that night. That's how they lived. They didn't have pantries crammed with food. They didn't have fast food on every corner. Subsistence is still the way many people live in our life today. That's how they survive. So thinking back, food was a giant stressor 2,000 years ago. And Jesus says, I don't want you to worry about it. I don't want you to worry even about the big things in life, like what you're going to eat. 2,000 years ago, did people worry about their clothes? Absolutely they did. Most of them wore their whole wardrobe on their back. And when what they had ripped or tore, worn out, or was stolen, they didn't have a closet crammed with other outfits to wear. So Jesus is really saying, even the real issue of clothes, don't worry. That's what it meant back then. So now, what does it mean for me today? Well, maybe today you're not worried about food and clothes, but you're worried about your bills that are piling up. You're stressed out. It's a picture of a happy PC user, I think, right here. I don't know. But stressed out, we're stressed out about our bills. Christ says, don't worry. You're vexed about your job. Jesus says, let it go. You're freaked out because you still own a house in Kansas City. Jesus says, I got this. I got it. Christ says here on the Sermon on the Mount that even the life and death aspects, don't worry about them. You say, I'm lonely, Lord. He says, I'll be there for you. Lord, I'm battling cancer. I know your pain. He says, I'll be there. Listen to what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 31. He says, therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, but your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. So maybe he wouldn't say the same thing today about food and clothing, but he would say those things that you're worried about, your job, your bills, your family, your friends, your health, your pain, your heavenly Father knows that you need these things. He knows, and he understands. Can you hear him speaking to you today? He's saying, hand it over. Give me your stress. Let me help. So what do we do today instead of worrying about the big things and little things of life? Well, we find it here in the next verse, verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for today is its own trouble. So many of us worry about tomorrow, don't we? We worry about things that might not never happen. It's like paying interest on a loan that you may never have to pay the lump sum on, but you're paying interest every day. So let's try something. If you have a pen nearby and a piece of paper, I want to do something with you. If you don't have a pen or paper, you can just whisper it to your neighbor right next to you. Let's think something out about this. Try a little experiment. Now get you ready. I'm going to give you 5 seconds now. Today is November 19th, 2011. All right? So I'm going to give you 5 seconds. I want you to write down or whisper to your neighbor. You have only 5 seconds to do it. I want you to tell that person or write down what you were worried about on November 19th, 2009. Go. Stop. All right, raise your hand if you had something. You came up with exactly what you were worried about. Exactly what you were worried about on November 19th, 2009. I see a couple hands going up, huh? Most of us couldn't remember, could we? So did you not have problems 2 years ago? No, you did, didn't you? But the Lord helped you through those problems in 2009. He helped you through those problems in 2010. He helped you through those problems 6 months ago, 3 months ago. He helped you through those problems this last week, didn't he? So why don't we trust the Lord to help us with our worries today, too? For weeks, we had been asking Johanna if she had to use the bathroom and then taking her. Well, then one day the light bulb came on. And she said to me, Daddy, I have to go potty. And I said, yes, because she came up with it on her own. I said, okay, let's go. She said, no, I do it myself. It's okay. All right, you can go. Little girl doing it herself. So off she went to do it, got the stool and everything, and she was working. And then after a little while, I heard this little voice say, Daddy, you help me. And so I walked in there. Toilet paper everywhere, all over the floor. Daddy, you help me. I said, yes, honey. Daddy will help you. Our Heavenly Father knows what we need. He knows about the big things that have us worried. He knows about the small things that we make so big. He knows, and he understands. We try it on our own, and sometimes we make a big mess of things, don't we? Like toilet paper all over the place. When we find ourselves there, all we have to say is, "Daddy, you help me." And he will. I think when we say that, I think God finally smiles, and I think he says, "Yes, they're finally figuring it out that we can't do it on our own." Jesus cares. He cares about your sins, and he will deal with them. He will take them away. He cares about your worries, too. He cares about your stress, and he will take them if we will let them go. Paul concludes in Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, our first text and our last text today. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. After saying, "Be anxious for nothing," he says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Give Christ your worry. Give it all over to him. And in return, he'll give you peace. True peace, not the peace of this world, which ends in a phone call, but true peace. A peace that the Bible says doesn't make sense. A peace that you have even when everything's falling apart around you. Jesus will give us a peace, an assurance that he's there. He doesn't always take the problems away. Realize that. But he says, "I will be there through the problems." For the one who calmed the stormy sea can calm the storms in our life. Or he'll get in the boat and ride it out with us if we just let him in. There's a peace, friends, in knowing that this world of trouble, this world of worry will not last always. One day, Jesus will come to remove all worry forever. Let him start with your worry today. Almighty Father in heaven, gracious Lord Jesus, how many times we've walked that road by ourselves, we've run ahead of you, and we've gotten to messes. And we've tried to stress about it, be freaked out about it, be worried about it. And there you are, waiting for us to just let go. So this morning, Lord, help us to turn our eyes to you, to hear you speaking to us, to give you not only our sins, but to give you our worry. That you, Lord, may give us what we long to have, peace. Bless us this day, Lord, for we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.